appreciate you being part of it.
And remember, the statement Dobie just made kind of alleviates us from any type of a lawsuit that could stem basically from what anything we might say. True?
True. The disclaimer is our opinions are not necessarily those of anyone
staff
else
and
in the free world. Not just this radio station. I'm talking to anyone on the street. And the thing is, we started this talk show because we are human beings first. Mark is a type one. Yeah. I'm a type two. We were in radio together for many, many years. And we thought, you know what? All the things that we've heard or seen are very clinical and they're very scary. Though when you hear that word, you know, it's like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. You have diabetes. It's like, excuse me, let me put down my gummy bear 5-pound bag and say, you know, maybe take care of myself and my health for a little bit of while. So we found out, we've been on the air a little bit over a year, that people say, you know, I kind of listen, I lurk in the background because not only do I have diabetes or I know someone that does. Our guest today, Gray Dolan, a friend of ours who is an actress and a comedian and a radio veteran, and her whole family has it. So she knows what it's like to live. We'll talk to her in a little bit. So even if you listen to the show, we don't want to use all the clinical terms. We want to say, okay, when my uncle starts throwing the terms around at Thanksgiving dinner, I want to know what an A1C is.
Yes. If you are overly offended for whatever reason, I direct you to our producer, Troy McDonald.
Yes.
Deep pockets. Very, very, very good. So we'll go that way. All righty, Dobie, here it is. Diabetes. We've been doing it, like you say, for hundreds of a century at least.
The diabeticshow.com, as we're starting out, Mark is also very, very talented web designer.
Oh, yeah.
And lakecountygeeks.com, and he's the one that put it together. So go check it out because there's a lot of informative articles, and it's very easy to navigate.
And we kind of link you to what you hear here to there, and we kind of set you off on your merry way. Of course, the good news for us in the year with this diabetes program, we have another 1.5 million potential listeners, which is exciting for us, not too good for those 1.5 million people as they are newly diagnosed with diabetes. Out of that 1.4 million, about 140 million, 1 in 10, or 140,000, sorry, 1 in 10 have the type 1 diabetes.
That's you.
And that's what I would like to call the real diabetes. Mm-hmm. Type 2s, maybe they'll get lucky and become a type 1, but only if they screw
up. We're like strawberry quick. You know, the Nestle's quick, the chocolate one's what everybody wants, but strawberry quick's on the shelf too. And
that's true.
It's still in the store.
So consider us the canary in the coal mine, in case we both stop talking.
Okay.
Okay, so let's break it down. In this last year, 1.4 million new cases of diabetes. That's 1 in 10 are the type 1s. Basically, it's 81 new cases of diabetes every 30 minutes. So by the end of the show, there you go, a full metro.
Put down the gummy bears.
Step away.
Let the doctor do what he does.
Let's do a little news here on Dobie. I have a team of scientists from Boston's Children's Hospital. They've reversed type 1 diabetes.
In the kids?
Mice.
Oh, mice.
Yeah, close.
What kind of insurance policy does mice, what kind of a copay does a mouse have?
I know the Blue Cross Blue Shield, the Tom and Jerry policy is called in.
They don't take sharp cheddar. What do you mean? We can't have that.
Hospital researchers say of all the mice trialed, successfully cured of type 1 in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
Most, they're not saying what the number, but most were cured for the duration of their lives. So,
how long does a mouse live?
I was going to say slightly less than a type 1 diabetic, probably, so it doesn't work out too well for everybody involved. Previously,
can you imagine that little tiny glucose meter that they have? That little tiny, he's got to prick his little tiny little
patients
toe.
In the studies were... They call them patients, I guess so, right? Patients in the studies were infused with their own blood stem cells in the attempt to reboot the immune system, the pancreas, kind of, clear, that type of thing. Seems to work.
A mouse's pancreas.
According to the Boston researchers, they've discovered that a genetic defect, which causes blood stem cells to produce less of a protein called, writing this down, Dobie, PD-L1. PD-L1.
That's a brand of... energy drink, isn't it? PD-L1?
And an offshoot of WD-40. It also contributes to the so-called juvenile diabetes. So apparently, if they kind of get that out of the way with the new blood stem cells, then it kind of takes care of that, kind of pushes things out of the way, gets rid of the inflammation, and possibly leading to the onset of the disease, which they think it does. To combat that defective gene, the team replaced it with healthy genes, used a harmless virus as a carrier.
Gotcha.
Cool. Yeah, and that's it. So should we fix another week or two for everybody else, right?
Right.
Okay. Type 2 diabetes. This is another story. I have very poor inflections today. It's known as adult onset because it was so rare in kids. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. No. Thanks to that fat epidemic. I'm sorry. Is fat politically correct, or do we still have to go obese, chunky?
I call them the spongy Americans.
Husky children. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, right now, 1 in 5 of the Huskies are considered obese. The rate of type 2 diabetes in young people climbing 5% over the last decade between the ages of 10 and 19. According to CBS News, it is an alarming rate. Of course, you've got the complications resulting from type 2. Dobie, you got type 2 for a few years.
Adult onset, yes, since 2011. And it's like 9/11. You remember where you were when you're diagnosed.
You had a very interesting onset.
It was frightening. Are you kidding? It was Father's Day.
I from what I heard.
Yes, I think we've told the story before.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. No, go ahead.
You want to hear it again?
Let's stretch it.
Well, it was Father's Day in 2011, and one of my testicles was about 3 times the size of the other one. I'm a comedian by trade. This is no joke. And it's Father's Day, and I had no idea what to do. Now, if both of them would have been the same size, I'm thinking, okay, there might be something good there. I'm ready to break free, you know, like a superhero status.
Can we do the disclaimer for the PG-14?
I'm not trying to be funny.
I'm just telling you,
you know, the testicles are part of life, and half of us. And the other half, you know, it's just part of it. So rather than having 2 mangoes, I had a mango and I had a grape. Okay, and I went to be diagnosed. Of course, I'm on the comedian 100% deductible plan. I had 0 insurance, and there was a gorgeous young lady that was the clerk or the receptionist at the emergency room, and it said, "What happens to be wrong with you?" Now, I'm a little older. I'm not trying to hint it. She probably could have been my daughter. I don't want to talk like this to a strange young lady in her 20s. One of my testicles is 3 times the size of the other one.
That's awful.
And she looked at me, and she was very calm. And she gets on the loudspeaker, "Testicles, aisle 2, testicles, aisle 2. So about 6 people in white suits came, and they poked and they prodded and they took blood, and they said, "You have type 2 diabetes."
And that's how.
And I was shocked. I had no idea what it was going to be. I said, "Well, what about my testicles?" I said, "Well, we're going to shrink that down. Your blood sugar is 500. I said, "Is that good?" They said, "No, you're about to die and you're not going anywhere." "Well, I have a show tonight." "No, you don't. You're staying here." So I ended up being in the hospital for 9 days. And I can't think of another way to say it. My testicles had gangrene. You know, where did that come from? And I said, how do you go from that? I can't tell you how many times I've wished that on booking agents and other people, maybe people that I don't agree with, but I never thought I'd have it myself. And then the doctor said, he goes, "You know, you would have let this go a day or two longer. You would have lost your plumbing, buddy. It would have been all over." And I'm thinking, so it's a horrible thing. And talk about something to get your immediate and undivided attention. That was it. And they took a part out without getting, you know, too graphic. And
I'm sorry. We don't want to get too graphic.
Well, I'm just telling you the truth. You asked me what to tell, but I'm saying this is why we need to broadcast this, because you know what? There are other people with stories as maybe not as graphic as mine,
but they
could be unusual. And thinking, I feel like a freak. I feel out of place. So I'm gonna be the first one. This is what happened. I'm not embellishing it. I'm just telling you what happened. So from that day on, you watch your diet and you learn things and the terms that we talk about on the show that are real for people that are. Real people, not someone that's in medical school playing with mice. You know, this is not a white mice. This is me. And every day, you know, you have to change your diet. And before I went to the hospital, I had no idea the diabetes was going to be involved. What did I get? I got a piece of watermelon because it was on Father's Day. It was June. Hmm. It was a hot day. I got a piece of watermelon and a Coke. You know, something like that. Well, no wonder it's 500. I'm surprised there wasn't a comma in the total of my sugar.
To think how close we were. And having Denny's as a potential sponsor, just that.
Well, it's real. Think about it. In the modern world, our diets are horrible. You know, we talk about kids being obese. Of course. I don't know about you. I grew up, my grandparents raised me, and they lived through the Great Depression,
sure.
Which meant vicariously I had to live through the Great Depression through my childhood. And to have a soda or pop, depending on where you're listening to this, to get a soda, I might have had maybe a Dixie cup full once a week if I was good.
See?
Very serious.
I believe it.
But now I see parents pouring it for kids at dinner. Oh, my, I never could imagine that. I don't know if you had it as a kid or not, but did you have that? I never did.
No, never. McDonald's was a treat.
Correct. And now you see kids, it's like, "Oh, mommy, I'm thirsty. Oh, have a drink of Pepsi, son." Well, you wonder why your kids are
And of course, back then, we had to travel around the glacier, which was between us and the McDonald's. And so, you know, back then.
And again, I'm all for free enterprise, but we have to talk about it. We have to change our lifestyle. Or there's no question that what you just, whatever statistics you said at the top of the show, why that many people in the next half hour are going to get diagnosed.
Oh, we're about 10 minutes in, so you figure it's what, 8?
There you go.
A mere 8, 10, yes. 12. Math was never big. That's why I got that degree. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the deal of it was, like Dobie said, apparently it is obesity, which runs your type 2 probabilities. If you are obese, numbers say you're a good 50%, 50% better chance of scoring that wonderful disease. And, of course, the other thing about the obesity, of course, is the downside of it. There are kids now that are having the exact same complications that you didn't have until you got the adult onset.
Well, I have a niece, and her husband is 44 years old, and he just had emergency bypass surgery. He had a stent put in his heart because he is a type 1, bad diabetic, and now they have to take one of his toes off. And that's a different medical procedure. I said, well, couldn't they just go in there, give him the bypass, take off the toe, you know, shave and haircut two bits, and you're out the door? It's like, no, they're all these. So now think about what kind of a burden that puts on our already troublesome insurance company. Whether you care about, I mean, it's the Affordable Care Act. I'm not trying to take sides one way or another. You know, it's called Obamacare because people want to blame a certain person, but it's got to get done. We need health care. Every human being needs it since the beginning of time. So I'm thinking, let's just get it done. Whoever gets credit or blame for it, let's get it done in America. Other companies say, and I'm not trying to make a political agenda here. It needs to get fixed, correct?
The situation is the complications of the type 2 diabetes, which you usually didn't get till 50 or 60.
Right.
Now you're seeing it at 20.
You know, when you're putting 30. When you're putting Clearasil on before you take your blood sugar, you know there's problems.
End-stage renal disease, dialysis, heart attack, stroke, neuropathy, huge problems, blindness, and you always got the amputation. To look forward to, I suppose. One more before we go to the break, though. You know, we touched on this earlier, a different show. It's becoming huge. Diabetic tattoos. Right? You probably don't remember it, but I'm telling you.
I just have my tramp stamp, but I can't really see it. I just hear it's pretty sexy.
And you see it in the mirror, it's all backwards.
No, I don't see it. That's the thing.
Ooch. Anyway, here's the deal. This diabetic tattoo changes color in coordination with blood sugar levels.
That's cool.
So technically, you're getting an instant response as far as what's going on inside the cells, where all the unused glucose lives. And where did it go? I kind of lost it. Here it is. They call it the Dermal Abyss Project. Great name.
That's what I would call it.
That's a great. I mean, if you're going to go for funding. The Dermal Abyss.
Is it in a band? And then they work at Lollapalooza. They opened up for the Red Hot Chili Peppers last year.
Now, technically, it has not been tested on human skin. It is at what's known as the proof of concept stage, which we're very unfamiliar with. But basically, what it is they make the tattoo, whatever you want that tattoo to be. And Dobie, yours, I can only imagine.
Britney Spears.
I knew it. I wasn't sure if it was going to be Britney or Bieber. Because I know you're very pro-Canadian.
Yes, I am.
So,
a big fan of maple syrup, but only the sugar-free kind.
So,
diabetic-friendly.
MIT researchers theorize the biosensors, which basically what it is, could eventually replace the current method used with the old pricking of the fingers and the ouching 4 to 6 times a day, as I'm so familiar with. Now, we got the upside, right? Downside has not been done on human skin yet. So far, it's just been done on, as I read here, the skin of a dead pig.
All right. That's a good picture right there. It's time to take a break.
I thought I handed that off to you nicely.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
Try that
like
again.
That.
Skin of a dead pig.
We have people that don't eat pork that listen to this show. Out of respect to them, I'm not going to touch that line.
Currently, no plans to develop Dermal Abyss as a product or pursue clinical trials. So I really don't know why they even bothered printing the story then. We're not going to do anything with it, but it's a good idea. It's theory. It works so far.
So does communism.
Let's take that break.
Let's take a break. We have a very interesting guest coming up. Gray Dolan is a good friend, and she's going to have an input from a person who's been around diabetics. And now, Mark, I've known you a long time, and you were a diabetic ever since I've known you.
Yeah.
And then I joined the fray as the type 2. So it's going to be an insight, and it's a lot of fun. We're coming right back.
Diabetic Show. Thanks for listening. Diabetic Show. Mark Phil Wet, Type 1.
We're back. I'm Dobie Maxwell, Type 2. We're glad you're here. And we're just going to start having more interesting guests. Not that our last guests weren't interesting, but just open up the gate.
Let's burn those bridges now.
Exactly. Yeah. Those idiots we had before are going to be gone and dead. This young lady, I work with her many, many times in many aspects. She's an actress and a comedian, and she was a co-host of another radio show that I had a long time ago. And she was kind enough to donate her time because she has experience with diabetics. And her name is Gray Dolan. Hey, Gray.
Hi, Dobie. How are you?
Now, we're talking about this. Your real name is Loreen.
Yes.
Which I like. Now, how did it get to be Gray?
My very last legitimate job before I went into comedy was I worked as a visual arts coordinator, and I wore a lot of gray suits, and no one could remember Loreen. And they just point to me and go, you, in the gray, you. And it just kind of stuck.
It did stick.
I just did. And then I'd go to Starbucks, and I'd order something. What's your name? Loreen. And just watch the poor little barista's eyes glaze over. And then I would just say gray. And it just kind of evolved from that.
But it's amazing how something grows like that. And there's nothing wrong with Loreen. But I know he has gray. And it's like, I knew that was your name. But, like, it's so funny. The people just get nicknames. And do you ever see, like, you look at the obituaries, and it'll say, you know, Mark, quote-unquote, Zeke Philwett. That's it. Well, his name is not Zeke. His middle name is not Zeke. Well, and it's just you're a gray. You just become gray. That's who you are.
I've dated guys who've like, people like, wait, that's not your name? No.
Well, I heard guys named Red. We kind of, you know, Red dates gray, and then you have beige babies, something. I don't know. Plaid. Anyway, why Gray has joined us today. Now, your family is diabetic.
Whole family is diabetic. Grandmother, mother, my mom's brother, so my uncle, and it's my entire life. It's like I've lived in a diabetic household for as long as I can remember.
Yet you.
I am not a diabetic, but I've also been fighting it every inch of the way by, like, not doing the sugars. Like, living like a diabetic is genetically already inclined.
It has affected you since childhood.
Yeah. Like, my entire life. It's like, I don't know what real sugar tastes like anymore. Because I'm just not around it. And when I do have, like, real sugar on accident, I personally feel sick. I'm like, how do people ingest this?
Sure.
Like, how do you, like, your mouth is sticky. It's like, ew.
You
like,
bring up a good point because it seems the more you have, the more you want.
Yeah.
And I've noticed, I mean, my big give up was RC Cola. Real sugar RC, and where you could spill the stain. It would be sticky for weeks. Mm-hmm. I didn't clean well when I was in my 20s. But then I moved to the diet, and the first diet soda I had, couldn't stand it until I realized I'd be dead if I didn't. And now I look at this, see? Get that?
I think we're going to have a future whole broadcast about soda. Now, did you drink pop/soda when you were a kid?
Not really, just because my mom didn't care for it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm not paying for dental work.
Smart mom.
She's like, no.
How about your dad?
Yes and no. Like, he'll drink the real stuff, but he'll, like, get one of those 20-ounce bottles and nurse it for, like, 4 days.
No, but my point is he's not diabetic.
No, he's just a cardiac patient.
Oh, okay. Oh, well. All right. Yeah. Gotcha.
He's smoking too much.
Got that going for him. Okay.
Well, it's funny, same thing. It's when I got diagnosed, I said, does anyone else in your family have it? I said, no, they all got cancer and deserved it. And the doctor looked at me. I said, you know, just a little joke there, but trying to make levity in the point. No offense if you have cancer. I'm not. It's
doctors
a joke.
Don't have sense of humor.
They do not.
No,
Gray.
They don't.
So now, do you find yourself living this life now? You're an adult that knowing, say, okay, diabetes is huge. I'm sure, you know, you dated people. You had work relationships with people that have it. You're aware more than ever.
Yeah, because I know, like, genetically, my pancreas may screw up, and nothing breaks overnight. So as long as I don't abuse the pancreas and I don't abuse the system, hopefully I'll keep going. And when I've told, like, doctors, like, you know, whole family, they're like, is everybody overweight? I was like, no, I'm the only one that, you know, can keep the day shift at Chipotle busy. They're like, well, what about your grandmother? Did she have a weight problem? Like, she was homeless during World War II in Nazi-occupied Europe. I don't think she had a weight problem.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, no, they weren't known for their bulges.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think she was gorging on, you know, streusel and cheesecake and whatnot.
No.
So then my mom, the same thing. My mom was a runner, and then I think she didn't feel well, went to the doctor. It was like blood sugar of like 600.
Well, wow.
Yeah. Great. It seems, well, I mean, you look quite literally on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see from your vantage point that maybe the diabetic who has it doesn't?
I'll take this from perspective of I have a really severe gluten allergy, so I'm going to say it like this. You're being so grateful you know what's wrong. And I put that also in quotes, that you know what you can do. And even though it's a wretched thing to figure out, like, both of you guys could have the exact same meal and both your blood sugars will be completely different. and whatever, whether or not white rice affects you or brown rice or whatever. So for me, I always say, like, at least you know what's going on. And at least it's a disease that's, like, popular, unfortunately. There's research being done. And you can say, I want a fake soda or I want fake maple syrup or whatnot. So for me, I say that at least you know what's going on. And you're not pre-diagnosed going, why am I peeing all the time and my vision is blurry?
Yeah.
And my skin's really dark because I'm dehydrated.
Very good. Good points. Very good points.
Now, here's a dumb question. Do you check your own blood sugar from time to time?
I do. I do keep a track of it. It's just kind of like...
You have these blood monitors laying around.
My God, it's insane. You go to my mother's house, it's like everywhere you go, there's like a... Like, it's kind of, they're kind of like mice. They're like all over the place and you trip over them at random times.
Yeah, funny.
But I do monitor. I do like keep track of it because I am scared of that one day going, oh, that's not good.
Yeah. And generally when people go from, say... 0 to type 1, it is quite literally almost overnight, within a week or two, because your body starts building the sugars, and next thing you know, you're like Dolby in the 3 to 4 digit range of blood sugars, and people looking at you. And
shaking like a 3-legged dog going through heroin withdrawal.
And my mom's a type 2 diabetic who's on insulin.
Mm.
Yeah, so she's actually had diabetic seizures, and the first couple of times they happened, obviously emergency room visits, and I don't know if any of you guys ever experienced them.
Oh, Mark's got a great story. Yeah, he made me tell mine. You're going to tell his.
They're terrifying.
Yeah, the thing is, when you're on the inside looking out, it quite literally is the best nap you've ever had. I mean, you wake up, you're totally refreshed, and you see these EMTs, which really, you don't remember them when you took the nap. You don't remember taking the nap. But
it's like the gray aliens, no pun intended, with great, you know, they're just, you're in the UFO, they got the big green finger, and next thing you know, you're getting the exam.
Thank you for not saying probe, because we are trying to keep this to a certain level. Because the thing that you're talking about, the seizures especially.
They're, terrifying.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine what it would be like to actually see.
I've seen multiple ones. My mom was basically over-medicated on too much insulin. It's another thing I would want people to know, like, who are dealing with it. Pay attention to how much you're getting, how much insulin you're getting. Because, like, the nighttime insulin now is at, like, a third of what she was initially on, and then going through these seizures constantly.
Interesting you bring that point up. It has to do with the concentration of the insulin. Mm-hmm. Universally, it was always U100. So whatever your numbers were, to say you're going to eat... Because nowadays they say it's all about the carbs. You count your carbs and then you adjust your insulin to those carbs. Mm-hmm. But if you're shooting U100, say you're going to use 10 units for whatever you're eating. Mm-hmm. If it's U200, you really should only be using 5 units because it's twice as thick. There's U300s now. So, yeah.
It becomes a math problem now.
It really does. It's like you kind of have to sit there. Yeah, but from the
outside. If a train leaves Waukegan at noon.
I was going to make a joke about Waukegan, but, you know.
That's your hometown.
That's my hometown. Yeah, I'm from Waukegan. Hmm. I won't mug anybody, I promise.
Fairview High School. Yeah, or no, it wasn't high school. It was a grade school. Yeah, it was five fun years. Today, I think you'd have to be better at running to get there and back. And
that's true.
You know, the whizzing of the bullets. And, again, those lawsuits, Troy McDonald, just... We'll give it up.
But that's the funny thing. People always make fun of Waukegan. I'm thinking, but the minute there's just even a thought of snow, the plow trucks are out.
Oh.
So I really have to say, like, it's kind of balanced.
Very
out.
Good. It is a fine town, especially if there's anybody from the chamber listening looking for a really
I
nice...
have no problem with it. But
you have to take a break. That would be a good time to do it. Let things cool down before the officials get on us.
Who's calling? Oh, go ahead. Take the break. Okay. Thanks again. The Diabetic Show should be right back. Diabetic Show. Mark Philwitt, type 1 and public school graduate.
Mark is a public school graduate. I see him have his shoes and socks off, counting his toes. My name is Dolby Maxwell. I'm the co-host here. Joining us and writing a very good friend, a comedian and actress, an all-around talented young lady. Her name is Gray Dolan, and Gray is from Waukegan, Illinois. Her family is full of diabetics, and she's been dealing with diabetes for a long time. I wanted to have you on just from an outsider's point of view because it could just be so intimidating when someone in your family, because a lot of times people, have been married for a long time. The next thing you know, their partner has it. It's like, oh, my gosh, what do I do?
It is. I mean, I can kind of see that. I've dated diabetics, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm on this. Don't worry. I got this.
I was going to ask you that.
Yes.
Would you have any compunction with dating a type 1?
No, I dated a gentleman who was a type 1 diabetic, mm-hmm. and he was on the pump.
Ooh.
So it was like, yeah, no problem, cool. And I remember he's like, oh, my blood sugar is 80. I'm like, you need to eat something.
Very good.
I'm like, you need to. He's like, no, I'm fine. I was like, yeah, no, I'm going to get you a brownie.
Do you notice the mood swings, though, don't you?
I do. And with my mom, I can actually look at her and go within 10 points, guess her blood sugar.
Wow.
Really?
Yes. Because I'm just like, look at her because she gets a kind of a. My mom's olive skin, so she kind of like changes in paleness and don't like. And I'm like, what color foundation do you need for this?
No, I think that, I mean, we're making fun, but it's not, that's no joke.
That's
I bet it's
true.
Yeah.
It is.
I totally
I can
see
look
it.
At her and be like, and then, like, when she says, I'm hungry, like, I need to eat, I'm just like, there is no, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's, okay, fine, here, throw something at you.
Now you guys happen to be Jewish. Do you keep kosher?
Somewhat.
And without being funny, I got to believe there are people that do keep kosher that are still diabetics. What
somewhat.
Do they do?
What's that? It's just like certain, you don't eat certain foods. You prepare things different ways. You have like, different, you know, like 8 different dishes for like 12 different meals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like that big of a difference, mm-hmm. You know.
I mean, obviously people of ethnicities and religious groups have different diet. What about someone that is a vegan or a vegetarian or something? Would they have less chance of having diabetes?
I think they'd be better diabetics overall because the worst part you can have are carbs. The best thing you can have is fiber.
Well, like Gray said, though, you could have the same meal and two different people have two different body types. And the other one is, you know, dance around the chicken dance in the circle. And the other one is in a coma face down in a punch bowl.
That's the rub about the disease. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have these, like, for instance, I could be, say, go to sleep and I'm at 125.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll wake up not eating anything. Still got that 24-hour insulin rolling around in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Goes up three times. I'm up to 240, 250. And the endocrinologist that. Very good one, by the way. I'm a little behind. And why'd this happen? I don't know. They don't know. There's a lot of I don't knows. With insulins in general, they're timed. I use a short acting, which fires between 1 and 3 hours. And after 3 hours, it's supposed to be all gone. And then I got this underlying 24-hour regimen that's rolling along. There's just maybe I do a little exercise. All of a sudden, I need 25% less insulin. Have a pancake, I need 25% more insulin. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of, pretty much like you say, Gray, know what works for you.
Yes. And if I cook, when I cook for my ma, I'll make like certain things. Like I know her blood sugars will be balanced up because of like this particular meal. And I'll actually in some ways math it out going, okay, how can I zone this? You know, this many carbs, this many proteins. So I try to pay attention.
Now, stupid question. You talk about exercise. Does your mom... physically, I mean, does she plan or exercise, or has that been a part of your life since you were a kid?
We've always been like a really active family.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like when you have a dog, you're always a little bit more active if you don't have a dog.
Mm.
And when I got injured, my poor little dog got wider.
Sure. Yeah.
So like, when you have a dog, and it's like, and also living in Waukegan, I can walk to the Middle Eastern restaurant. You can walk to the corner store. So there's like a lot of like different ways of staying active.
Very good.
So.
Mm-hmm. And what's also interesting is when it comes to diabetes, a statistic which really sticks out, they're more than twice as possible for divorce. And your parents have been around?
My parents have been married for 40 plus years at this point.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Then dad will get pink eye. It'll be all over. You're talking about the diseases come out of nowhere.
Yeah. No, well, it's, really quick. 4 years ago, my dad had a massive cardiac arrest, and I happened to be at my parents' house to do CPR. It's the only reason he survived.
Wow.
And maybe... The guy I was dating owned a restaurant. Nobody wanted to go to his restaurant for New Year's Eve. And I was like, fine, forget you guys. I'm going to go hang out with my dog, cat, and my parents. And that's how I was at my parents' house.
If you are not at the top of that list of in my will, I bequeath.
I'm an only child. They have no choice.
Gray Dolan is our guest. Gray, thanks for being with us.
No problem.
Anything to plug in your
entertainment
career?
Nothing major, except I am actually working on another book. I'm working on a collection of ghost stories for when you need a good laugh.
We'll have you back on again. Gray Dolan, our guest. I'm Dobie Maxwell.
TheDiabeticShow.com. You can ask our questions at the website. You'll get there from here. Big help for Troy McDonald. He tells us where to go and how to get there. And the person that you will be suing for anything we might have said that could have offended you.
One call, that's all.
The Diabetic Show. Thanks for listening.
No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to run with me. Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Wanda's Warm Wears, scarves in a variety of colors and styles, including cowl, infinity, skinny, and more. Each item is handcrafted. The market is open Saturdays at the Rhodey from 10 until 2.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Parkside Jazz Ensemble and Jazz Combo, along with the Parkside Alumni Big Band, will perform Tuesday, December 5th at 7 p.m. on the Main Stage Theater in memory of Tim Bell.